about this, but the last time she tried to come, the power went out here. Right?
Yeah.
And I was kind of worried because our power's been out since Thursday.
The pipes were frozen.
The pipes were frozen and we couldn't have church. And then power went out. And so I just was praying, Lord, release that you have inside of Becky for us.
That's right.
Because I feel like, you know, the enemy's not wanting to come, but it's going to be some goodness. And I was saying, Lord, there's some power to be released.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, what you have for us to receive, we just open our hearts this morning. That you have, Lord, we get out our catcher's mitts. We catch that you want to release to this church body this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you guys for having me. Can I move back?
Yeah.
I feel like I would just like to not be on top of y'all. I'm good, but right there, that's good. Glad to see all of your faces. Just love what the Lord is doing here. You can just feel the presence of the Lord so strong and feel the DNA. It's just running strong here. I love it, of River Life Fellowship. And, you know, it's just something, you know, unique that God's put in us, right, that we get to express on this earth. And I love that. He's a creative God. It's just wonderful. So I've been, you know, really felt like when Matthew asked me just a few weeks ago if I could come in October, I really felt like it was the right time for me to come. And I feel like the Lord's actually been speaking to me. And I thought, well, I think this is what you really meant for me to bring. And so it's really an interesting subject that I've never really preached on before. But I have found myself recently having conversations with people, and this topic kept coming up, and I felt like the Lord was just saying to me, and I'm going to preach today on church. And it's just something I feel like the Lord's heart is rising up, and you know, the church is really under attack right now, and that's not really what has prompted that with me so much. I just started really having you know, Paul talked about at one point that when he was in prison, that it actually caused him to have a new impetus for the gospel. Well, I'm feeling that for the church. That's what I'm feeling right now. And I don't know if it has to do with the enemy coming so strong against the church right now, but I feel something rising up in me like a mama bear about church. And, you know, it's interesting with me that I probably need a watch because I really don't want to go over. Is there a way for me? Let me get that. Sorry. Yeah, let me keep the time. You know, I grew up. It's interesting how the Lord has put such a thing in me for the local church. And I'm really today particularly addressing the local church. I grew up in church 3 times a week, Baptist, but we were gospel singers. So we really, our focus was more on going out and singing. It was, my dad taught Sunday school and stuff, but I felt like our focus was not necessarily, you know, doing things in the church, although we were very faithful members in every way. Financially, I was taught to tithe from the time I was a kid. I walked in the building with an envelope in my hand, even though my parents put money in it. But I'm just, you know, it's interesting that Byron and I have ended up with such a passion for the local church. I don't even know how it happened, honestly. We got saved in the Jesus movement and not really rededicated for me in the Jesus movement. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and we started attending a church that was called the Lamb's Chapel after we were married. I mean, and even before the Lamb's Chapel, I attended a Spirit-filled church that was an Assembly of God. Started going there at 16, and I think something happened to me there, actually. I think for the first time in my life, you know, being filled with the Spirit, I was able to see something and got involved immediately, started helping with things and, you know, helping with the kids and helping with the worship. I mean, it just happened. And I believe that really probably came from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so recently what I've been thinking about is how we go through seasons in our life where you know, we feel like there's something being highlighted in our life, and other times where another thing's being highlighted. And I feel like years ago I heard Paul Kane speak, a prophet, if you don't know who he is. He's had a rough time in the past years, but he's a powerful prophetic voice. Probably had he not fallen, he would probably be a leading prophetic voice today. But I heard him talk about back then years ago in the 80s, Chuck, you probably heard him out in Kansas City talk about that the church needed to have two wings to fly. And he talked about the word and power. And I consider that the word and experiences, the word and encounters, so we can fly and we can soar. It's both. And I've been thinking about, you know, a few things along those lines, work and rest. You know, there's a time really to really work. I've learned in ministry, you go hard for a while, you just have to go hard. There's just no way around it. There's just things popping everywhere. But I've also learned, Derek Prince taught me this, but there's also a time when you rest. There's not a lot happening, and so you better take that rest then, yeah. Because around the corner comes, it'll start popping around you again. So there's just this, and that's all the things that we learn to really soar and be successful in the kingdom. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that Jesus said, that everything comes down to loving the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, but right behind it is loving people as yourself. And that's another how we soar in the spirit. Yeah. And the other thing I've been thinking of recently is the balance. It's not balance, it's really two wings. Yeah. It's the wing of a church life and the wing of your family and your friends and your community and your outreach. Yeah. And there really is, it takes both of those to soar. And you can, you know, and it's sometimes I think we kind of get either or on a lot of this stuff, but we really need both those wings. Yeah. And the Lord's just been reminding me and just bringing to memory all the beautiful things that the local church is. And I wanted to start with this verse, 1 Timothy 3:15. A lot of these are just common verses. I think today all I really, my goal here is to re-envision us, yeah, for why the local church. Yeah. It's pretty simple, but because we are church planting here, and I honestly, not even just because we're church planting here, but I'm probably going to preach this message at home. I believe we're in a time where we need to be re-envisioned for the local church. Yeah. And I may be preaching to the choir here. I imagine I am, but it's okay.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's a few people turned the world around when the church was birthed in the book of Acts. It was a few people, yeah, that actually started the church movement,
right,
as we see today. So 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, "If I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." And that's something I've been thinking about for a while in the season that we're in. You can see why there is an attack on the church, because we're holding this ground and this territory of being a foundation and a pillar in this whole wide world.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the church holding this ground, mm-hmm, I tell you, the world would probably be in much worse shape than it is now. And I'm going to say this, that even the local churches that are around here that maybe have drifted away in areas, they're still holding some kind of ground if the name of Jesus is being preached.
That's right.
They're holding some kind of ground.
That's right.
It might not be like we think they need to be holding, but they are holding some things.
Right.
But the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And I'll tell you, that we are coming in a time where we are beginning to see an apostate church. We're going to see that. That should give us a clue. If we see a church that is slipping away, why this thing is so important.
Yeah.
If the enemy's so hard working against to see the church, an apostate church coming forth in the end of age, we should keep our eyes open to why what we're doing is really important. And I'll tell you, that scripture says that we're holding that ground of truth. And there is no other institution in this world that is holding ground like we are. None. None at all. And the truth, this is the truth of God's word, is being preserved by teaching, preaching, and assembling. And this has happened through the ages. It has happened since the book of Acts. Think about how powerful that thought is, that we are a part of something that has been happening for a long, 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 long time. People assembling together as a local church, the word being preached, the word being preserved, the truth being preserved, foundation being preserved. It's so key what we do. It doesn't matter how big or how small. Whatever God has called us to do, it does not matter, because we are part of a very great mission on this earth, and it's called the church. And this was kind of my opinion of what the church really is. I think it's, you know, there's the ecclesia, which is really the word just assembly. It's actually where the Assemblies of God got their name, since I was a part of the Assemblies of God for a little bit. And it's an assembly, a gathering of people who come together. But this is mine. It's a spiritual family, an assembly of people who are redeemed by the finished work of the cross.
Yeah.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, that has a purpose, mission, working together to release the kingdom in our personal lives, our families, and then to the world around us. And that's really what I believe. It's a great mission. It is a great call. It is a great mission. It is a great call. There is no bigger mission that we really could put our hand to than this. You know, one thing that has been happening is actually the mindset of church. You know, we see this so much in younger generation, the millennials, where only 10% are now in church. It's really sad to me. And that's really why we cannot abandon. Because if we leave this to the generation under us that is no longer sees the importance of what we're doing, sees the mission, then we're... we're at risk. We're really at risk here. I mean, and we're at risk for what I just said, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what we're at risk for. And we're already beginning to see it beginning to affect mainline denominations who are now beginning to walk away from the very foundations of the scripture, who are now beginning to say things like, the Bible contains the Word of God. No longer is it the Word of God. You will begin to see that more and more. And so we're at huge risk. And that's why I'm saying we can't abandon this. We can't abandon what we're doing here. In fact, I believe there's more churches to be planted. More and more and more. Doesn't matter the size, because I'm going to tell you, no matter what we're doing, we're plowing ground and holding ground for whatever God wants to give us, the territory He wants to give us.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the size.
That's
yeah.
it.
Amen.
Come on.
You know, and you have to remember that the majority of the epistles were written to the church. And it's, you know, it's, think about it. It's the Bible is about church, the majority of it, and the mission of the church. And it's written to local churches. It was written, think about it, written to this church. And then think about even at the end, you know, what John saw on that island, and he saw the seven churches being addressed. This is huge. This is no small thing. It is not something to let go of. It is not something to not sow into this generation under us the value of what we're doing here. And I just want to give you some thoughts on how the church continues. How has it continued through the years, and how will we continue? Because it's something that I think is amazing. Think about how long this has been going on. It's a miracle. You're talking about a God of miracles.
Yeah.
It is a miracle how the church has sustained through the ages. Well, I can tell you why. Matthew 16:13, verses 16 through 18. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not overpower it. That is powerful. Jesus said this, that the gates of hell will not overpower the church. We are on the winning side. We are on the, we're in the right place. We're doing the right things. That's what we're, it's, we should just say, hallelujah. We're on the winning side. Doesn't matter how slow or how fast this thing takes off. We're doing what God has called us to do. We're doing the mission that Jesus said, that I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And we co-labor with Him. We're co-laborers of Christ. That is a simple mission, what we're doing. We're co-laboring with a thing that was in, that was boiling inside of Jesus. He saw the church, because the church one day will stand and be that radiant bride at the end of the age. So what we're doing is way beyond value than we could ever imagine. And I just believe upon that rock that he was talking about was not, it was Peter. And it was the Peters that we will always see, who have a heart to build his church, who have a heart to serve, who want, that want to, you know, it's the Bollingers, it's the Moores, it's the people that have, as many of you have given your lives over and over to see the church grow, expand, to build the foundations, to be the foundational members. It's the Peters. It's the Peters. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, upon the foundation of who Christ is. That's what the church is. We're standing on that foundation and building that He is the Christ, and there is no other foundation that I know. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it just so good? So good. You know, Byron and I have been doing, we've been in ministry now for 30 years. And I'll tell you, I get tired. You know, it's, I tell you, it's not people that make me tired. It's the hard stuff that makes us tired. It's burying people. It's seeing people fail. Failure. That is the heart stuff that gets me. It's not loving on people and ministering to people. It's none of that. And it gets hard. It really gets hard. But this message for me is coming late in the game, okay? I've never preached on the church. It's coming late in the game. And so I believe it's the heart of the Lord right now. I really believe it's the heart of the Lord. And I want to just give you a little, another thought of how the body, how the church is built. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's the body of Christ. It's this, Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him his head over all things, the church, which is the body, the fullness of him. So here we are. The exciting thing for us is Christ is our head.
Yeah.
We have a head. We're the body.
That's right.
Byron and I are still the body. We're not the head. Matthew and Sarah are not the head. We have a head. It's Jesus.
That's right.
And so what our job is we are being guided and directed by the head. The body is just his hands and his feet doing the work. Do you know the majority of miracles are coming through somebody's hands and feet? Did you know that? Somebody's hands and feet are doing that. Do you know how the church has been built? By somebody's hands and feet, their time, their talents. It's been built. That's the body. Fulfilling the mission of the head, which is Christ. And then I love this in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, of the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And here we go. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, we are... People think, well, we've done there, we've been there. No, we're not. We're not at fullness yet. We won't get to fullness until it's at the end of the age. We will continue to mature and come to fullness and come to unity. It will be. So our job's not done. It's not finished. This thing is a continuum till the end of building, being the body that builds the church. And the thing I love about the church is it is not an organization. It is a living organism. And when you're in a room like this this morning where the Holy Spirit's flowing and their gifts flowing, you can tell it. That's why anybody of any part of great organization could walk in here and this is a totally different animal. It's totally different because it's living organisms.
Yeah.
It's a living, each and every, we're bringing the gifts, we're bringing the Holy Spirit, we're bringing the talents, and that's what causes the church to mature and come to fullness.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I didn't put this up, but I want to tell you one thing I love. This is one of the scriptures I found last night. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, one of my favorite things about the church is that we're a dwelling place. And he says this, so then you are members of God's household because you've been built on the foundation of the apostles with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And that's really ultimately our mission.
Absolutely.
It's a dwelling place. And being members of his body is what creates that. It's not some great preacher. It's really not some great preacher up here. You know, for us, I'm going to tell you a little testimony about us over the years with River Life. But it takes you guys. It takes people being hands and feet. And so that we can create a space in these living stones that First Peter talked about, being built into a spiritual house, offering spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. We're living these living stones. Guys, you aren't dead. You're living stones. You've got something to give. You've got something. The greatest thing you could ever put your hand to is right here. And then Ephesians 4:16. I love this. And because of him, the whole body, the church, and all its various parts, closely joined, firmly knit together with ligaments in which it's supplied, with each part with power adapted to this need, is working properly, and all its functions grow to full maturity, building itself up in love. Isn't that a great verse? Yeah. Love it. Really love it. And, you know, it's just great. And then, you know, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus gave us our mission statement. He said to them, therefore go and make disciples to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. You see this? This is to the end of the age. And, you know, I really feel like, you know, if you ever lose sight of what we're doing, it really is clearly discipleship. We're discipling one another, and, you know, we're discipling each other. Brian talked about this week at Newcomers that really for the church, our mission is this. We first minister to the Lord, and then we minister in-house, okay, and then out. And so that's really, Jesus gave us our mission statement right there, is that we were to be disciples that go. And, you know, and that's where, I'm going to just tell you about preaching. Sometimes you think, I get tired of hearing these messages over and over and over and over and over. You hear them from every angle there is. I don't know about you, but I get tired of hearing so many different people out there. Sometimes I just have to shut it all down and listen to my peeps around me and keep it simple, okay? Because there's so much being said out there. And I will say this, I don't think we were created for that much information. That's why the local church, again, is really important. We need to be about what God's called us to do. We need to let Him speak to us. It doesn't mean we don't glean from other people or be an island. I'm not talking about that. But because we have access to so much now, okay, we can get worn out on messages. And but I'm going to say this, that I really feel this, that every time we come into the house where there is a message being preached, that there's something happening in the atmosphere, that it's an anointing being released. It brings unity in the body. There's just power being released through messages in the Word. Yeah. There really is. There's something happening in the atmosphere. There's something happening in the atmosphere when we come together through worship. Yeah. In unity. There's something that creates that. And really, we're creating that dwelling place for the Lord. Yeah. For Him to come in the body. And I'll tell you, the reason we do that is for us, for Him, but it's also for outreach. Because the Scripture is clear about people coming into our midst and pretty much being amazed about what the Holy Spirit is doing in here. And we have people get saved all the time. We don't even have altar calls. And they just get saved.
Yeah.
Because they're in the atmosphere where the Word is being preached. And we don't know that it's subtly, it's an impartation that is going into, especially in the local church where you're under a shepherd. When you're under a shepherd, God has given that man and woman authority to release things in the Spirit. He's speaking and downloading things for that local body. And it's really important that we just don't think, oh, another message. We need to be on board and say, hey, God's planted me here. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what He's doing. You know, even with my own husband, I honor what Byron is preaching. Because I know that he has sought the Lord for our congregation, for the flock. And that I needed, that needs to be important to me. We have this evangelist that comes, and his wife tickles me. She's just a straight little charity church mouse looking lady, and she has her pen and pad out every time he comes. And he says every time she writes notes in of all his messages, and I think that's really cool. Really, really cool. But one more mission, that's always my favorite mission, and I know it's Matthew's, is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, you know, He's talking to the apostles here. He wasn't talking to the apostles, He's talking in the temple. But I'm just saying, this is our mission. And this is really ultimately us as a local church will bring people into health. Yeah. We'll bring them into health. Because we're going to be the ones discipling them.
Yeah.
You know, you may have other organizations out there that are doing things, but overall, we're going to be we're the ones going to clean them. We're going to help them. We're going to feed them. We're going to get them back on their feet. We're going to come alongside them. We're going to preach the Word. We're going to get them in an atmosphere on a regular basis where the presence of the Lord is being preached. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to lay hands on the sick. This is that mission just right there.
Yeah.
And we have to see that. We soar, remember? This is one wing. There's another wing that goes out, okay? But this is this wing I'm talking about. It's really the church. And I get excited about that because sometimes we can lose vision, if this is really worth it. Is this really worth what we're doing Sunday and Wednesday and prayer meetings and worship team meetings? And it just goes on and on and on. You think, great day. We are doing a lot of stuff. You know? I'm being honest. But man, when I felt the Lord stirring with me and got in the Word on this, I'm just like, yeah. This is the greatest mission we could ever be a part of. Because guess who sends out missionaries to the nations? Just take a guess.
Yeah.
Who do you think is sending them out?
Yeah.
It's the church.
Yeah.
It's the church.
Yeah. That's right.
It is the church. Talk to the Baptists. Look what they were doing down there in Wilmington. 950 stations of feeding people.
Wow.
Yeah. 950. You know, that's pretty profound. You know, not, I mean, I'm just saying, it's the church.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's good.
You know, some days I don't want to go to church. I know you heard that joke. There's this joke out there, this little boy, he's in bed and it's Sunday and his mama says, "Get up, Sonny, it's time to go to church." "But I don't want to go to church." "Come on, Sonny, get up, time to go to church." "I don't want to go to church." "But you've got to get up." "Why? Why do I have to go to church?" "Because you're the preacher." That's dumb, I know. I know. You know, but there are times, and I've always loved this scripture because it has happened to me so many times. Psalm 73:16-17. "For all the day I've been plagued." This is David. He's in one of his down moments. You know, David was down a lot, but he also would come right back to the truth, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I love it because David had church in his backyard. You know, he loved church so much, he pitched the tent back there. Okay?
Yeah.
So, "For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And I have said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task." He's really bemoaning the fact that he feels like the unrighteous are prospering more than the righteous. That's what's happening here. And then I love verse 17. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God when I discerned their end."
Wow.
I'm telling you, so many times, you know, so many times I have really been struggling. And I think, if I can just get to church, if I can just get in that meeting, I know I'm going to be all right. Because this is the thing I love. There's nothing like being with the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit begins to move. And the life begins to flow. The river begins to flow. And God begins to speak. And the joy breaks out. And there's just nothing like that. As whether I'm in a home group. I love home groups, by the way. I love small groups. I enjoy them as much as a big meeting. And if I were down to a choice, I'd go to a small group. I'd go to a small... If we were down and persecuted, I would think, yeah, that's going to be good too. That's what's happening in China right now. I don't know if y'all know the church we've been a part of over there have gone underground again. They were meeting in bigger meetings. But, you know, just to get in a small group where you're just with believers and those gifts are flowing. I need that. I need my attitude adjusted. I need my brain adjusted. Because you know what? I was talking to Randall Worley. He preached at our son. Church Sunday, and I was talking to him about the battle over your mind, because the battle is all here in everything that we do all the time. It's, you know, he was telling me scientists have found out that, you know, what sticks in your mind the most is negativity. Negativity way overshadows being positive in the word and the truth. He said 80%. It just keeps, it's like he called it a Velcro. The negativity is Velcro. Whereas positive and the truth is not. It's Teflon. Isn't that interesting? That's why we need to go into the sanctuary. We need to be in the sanctuary. We need to be in church. We need to be a part of a body of Christ. And I'm not talking about just attending church. Although some people, that's all they can do, and even that is great. But I'm just saying we need to be a part of that living organism, because that is where our brains are going to keep on the right track of being the pillar and the foundation of the truth.
Yeah.
We need it.
Need
it. My mother, she was very prophetic. She's Baptist, but prophetic. We thought she was kooky growing up. We were embarrassed a lot because she just moved on whatever she felt the Lord wanted us to do, you know. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And so it was crazy. But until I grew up, and now I'm thinking, I'm like her. Whoa, I like her now. You know, because my mother loved church, and it was for that reason. She had tasted of the Holy Spirit. She would tell me, "Becky, the church is like popcorn." I said, "Popcorn?" And then I knew what she was talking about. She wanted to get up and say something. So, but she loved church. I had her in a prayer meeting when she, at the end of her age, she had dementia. And she, her mind was going, I had her in a prayer meeting one time, and we have powerful prayer meetings. You know, we always have. We've had really great, always a group of women that prayed, have prayed our congregation into everything that you see happening. And we were in there, man, and she was, you know, we always like to pray where you keep a theme for a while, just stay on it, not jumping all over the place. And we were trying to do that, and she kept crashing it. She'd change the subject. Oh, Lord bless so-and-so. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? So finally I thought, I got to get her out of here. I tried to get her out. And I said, Mom, we got to go. I got something to do. She said, leave me here. That's how much she loved that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I understand that now. Because when I'm struggling, I want to get in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I want to get with my peeps. That's what I need. I need to be with my peeps and get in that atmosphere. And, you know, and the other thing I just want to talk about real quick is about fellowship and being a part of a body and being together and being in fellowship. You know, we had the privilege of growing up in a community church, and I mean literal, a community church. It was a community. But one thing that we got there was this thing about the value of fellowship, of being in fellowship and being connected to one another. And it has absolutely carried us. It is in our DNA. And I think it'll continue through the DNA, through our children and through our grandchildren, of how important it is to be in fellowship and being connected. You know, and it's interesting. There's only one way for that to happen. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us connected. Did you know that? It's not just that we have covered dishes and we bleep, 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 blop, and do this and we do that. There's a connection in us because of the Holy Spirit. The first thing that happened, well, that is the church became the key player for church in the book of Acts. Soon as the Holy Spirit poured out, the church was birthed. So he's the key player here. And fellowship, that's what's given us our bond. And so this atmosphere of worship where the Holy Spirit begins to move is so important and so key. And so it is just to give you that thought of fellowship. Because I'll tell you, out of fellowship oftentimes comes the discipleship. It's not just we're going to have a discipleship program. A lot of discipleship actually happens through relationship.
Yeah.
It's through me making a connection with you, and then suddenly, I have this heart for some reason to minister to you. And that happens, and that's what happened to us really at the Lamb's Chapel back years ago. We just had a Holy Ghost move that bonded us. And do you know, we still, Chuck and Janet, we still to this day are together. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not about having things in common. Oh, I like to shop. You like to shop? You know, I like to spend money. You like to spend money? It's not like that. You know, it's really not. It's just the Spirit. I just love you. You know who? I just love you. You know why I love you? Because you love Jesus too. I just feel this bond with you. I just feel this bond in the Spirit with you. And that's really what causes a church to have a good foundation, is this connection that we have through the bond of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I love that. We had Paula Orrick to give a testimony recently. And we've had a couple of testimonies that have actually stirred me. I couldn't think of the other one, I lost it. But Paula Orrick gave her testimony at the women's meeting, and we randomly have people to give their testimony and then just give us a nugget of something, but not their whole life story. But I love what she said. Paula and Tim Orrick have been with us since the beginning. They're both veterinarians. They've been with River Life, and they're both veterinarians, and they went on the mission field. And they went on a 2-year stint with as veterinarians with an organization, and it was awesome. We got to send them. Well, her husband fell into depression there. It was really, really terrible. And it was in Uganda. It was just it ended up overwhelming. That happens to missionaries. It's not unusual. And it was so rough on Paula. But you know what her testimony was her peeps back home. She had her peeps back home that were just keeping her alive. You know, she could listen. Do you see how important that is? Her peeps back home. If it had not been for the local church back home, they would have utterly failed, packed up their bags, and came home. Is that not something to really think about? It's really, really something to think about. We have no idea how much we affect things. Have no idea. And, we have no idea. I just want to say this, that over the years, I want to say this is a building thing, and then I think this is probably enough to give y'all of what I'm feeling and stirred and passionate about. Okay?
You come back.
Byron says I have too many notes, and I do, but they're really for me. I kind of need them, but one thing that has happened over the years, that every time we do a newcomers, I give the history of River Life. And I want to just tell you that there was a man named Loden Elberger, is that his name, who started River Life. And it was a traditional church. It was part of the Evangelical Free Denomination. And this church probably started 30 years ago. And so he started it in his home. And there were a couple more families that joined him. It was the McCarrans and the Linkers. Bunny became the church mother over the years, and we just buried her back in May. You know, and burying Bunny was almost worse than burying my own mother because of this bond and the spirit that we had, and the, you know, of the part that she played with us was so invaluable. Somebody that gave their life. And when we came with this group, and Eldon ended up leaving the church, there was another, they carried on, and it went on for a few years, and things happened, and that's where Byron and I, they kind of fell apart, and that's where Byron and I came in, and not a clue that it was traditional church and what we were looking at, but it ended up, God called us, we transitioned it to a spirit-filled church. But, you know, I'm going to say that we're standing on the shoulders of people right now who saw this, what I'm preaching on today. And you're sitting here. But not just us today. We're talking about generation to generation to generation. And if we need to see this, and we need to really honor the people that have laid down their lives. We need to honor Chuck and Janet Moore for laying down their life for River Life so that we could be here today. We need to honor these people. We need to honor the people that lay their lives down. And I know I'm talking to the choir, but I just wanted to give you a glimpse of what I believe God's passionate about is His church.
Yeah.
I really believe ultimately His church is an all-inclusive ministry. It includes everything.
Yeah.
And I've always said, I've come to realize it's from cradle to grave. And then the next generation takes over. It's everlasting. The church is everlasting.
Yeah.
One day we'll all be in heaven together.
Right.
You know? And reminiscent of all the great things God did.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, in every step of the way, God has brought people to us. There have been more ground layer people. You know, we went along, we had that ground layer, then more people came in. It's a different season in our church. Then another layer came. They come all the time like that. And God uses them for the next thing that He's releasing. And I just want to say to y'all that you're here. You're a part of this plan.
Right.
And I believe God has appointed you for this.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing that He can't do here. Because He will build the church.
Yeah.
We will co-labor with Him. And
amen.
Right. And one day we will be a part. And at the end of the age, that radiant church that stands before Him. And why is it radiant? Because of all I've just said to you. It's not just because she's just without spot or wrinkle and we've gotten ourselves straightened out. It's not that. It's because the beauty of the ages, of the church through the ages, standing year after year and generation after generation. That's the radiant church. And that is His bride.
Yeah.
So, amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Woo. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, let's stand up, church. Woo! You know, the truth of the matter is that that's what Matthew and I said over and over. It's because of our peeps. It's because of the church overall that we have felt like such strength and depth in what the Lord's wanting to plant here, because it stands on generation after generation, you know. And so I'm just excited, because I told Matthew, I said, I feel something different even going to this women's retreat than I felt in the whole years we've been here. And because it's like I feel the strength of what the Lord has knit us together here. You know, I love going and seeing my friends that I get to see that I don't get to see very often, but I feel the strength of all the women that are going from here this year, and really what the Lord has done in knitting us all together and really going to join together. And I'm just excited about what the Lord has done with our church body and is doing and is building. And so let's just pray. Becky, will you pray over us real quick, just everybody, that the Lord would just release that he's put in you.
Well, Lord, we stand before you today, Father, and we know that you paid a really big price for the church.
Yeah, that's right.
And Lord, so we just, Lord, thank you for the sacrifice that you made for the church, that we could be the church, Lord. Yes. It's a glorious, the church is glorious. Yeah. The church really is glorious.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you that, Lord, that there's just nothing like being in the atmosphere of the body of Christ that is functioning and alive with your Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we're asking you today, Lord, that you give us new eyes to see what you love.
Yeah.
Your passion, Lord. Yeah. Give us eyes to see it. Lord, break off weariness. Break off discouragement. Mm-hmm. Lord, and renew us. Mm-hmm. Revive us. Mm-hmm. Lord, revive us by your Spirit, Lord God, that we would see that we are part of the greatest revival that there ever has been, Lord. Mm-hmm. And always will be, Lord. This is the greatest revival. It's your church, Lord. And we just say, in Jesus' name, just let the impartation come now.
Yes,
let there be impartation and wisdom, Lord.
Yes,
and wisdom, Lord, of how to co-labor with you, Lord, in this hour that we find ourselves in. Lord, we just ask you to open the eyes of our heart to let us see what we've not seen. Lord, we've missed something. And Lord, use us to draw this generation, this young generation, back to the church. Lord, that we would worship in spirit and reality and in truth, Lord. We're asking you for these things today, Lord. Give us an anointing. Lord, give us an anointing for the church. Lord, to co-labor with you, to build with you, Lord, to see what you see, to see it how you see it, Lord God.
Yes,
we are asking you in the name of Jesus. Lord, our bridegroom, our bridegroom, Lord, you are our bridegroom, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Can I say one more thing? I want to just say this to you. You know how that scripture that says, I just thought, I really did want to say this, that they'll know you are Christians by your love one for another. Well, we've been around circumstances, Michael and Grace have, and I've heard of others that were atheists. This is the one thing. They may not believe in God, but they see this, and they're jealous. They don't have that thing, that added thing. They can hang out all day with people. They can do all the stuff that looks like real community. And it is community. God's gracious. He wants every human to have community. He's not withholding it. But I'm just saying, you can't get this unless you're part of a body of Christ. And that's the thing we need to see. We're evangelistic by nature. Just being a part of the body of Christ and being in fellowship.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. So Matthew is saying, let's go out with some worship.